My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Is it right, is it proper to have favourites? If so, and even if not, here are my four favourites. John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. I'm going to air some views about music and musicians. They're my own views, add yours if you want to. View number one. I'm inclined to think that this is the most powerful and compelling four chords in all choral music. Marvellous. John Handel's Zadok the Priest.
Yes.
But it was conducted on that recording by the conductor I most prefer not to see, much as I admire his music, of course. A guess as to who I mean, or someone you would rather hear than see conducting.
That's rather difficult. I think, you know, How to Win Enemies and Lose Enemies.
No, splendid.
If I say Sir George Shalty, I'm going to get in trouble.
Splendid musician, I mean, perfect musicianship, but somebody just you'd rather not see conducting.
Yes, I'd sooner actually just agree with you about Zadok the Priest. I do think it's the most marvellous, spine-tingling beginning. And forget what I said about Sholto.
Okay, of course. Do you agree with me about Andrew Davis?
Oh, no. Right. I don't feel like that about Andrew.
What would you like to see him doing?
Chopping wood?
No, I would close my eyes and listen to the music he creates. That's
but
what
you
I'd do.
Talking about Shalty, may I tell us rather naughty?
Oh, you were talking about Shalty, were you?
Yes, I was. You weren't.
Yes, that's right.
And that he was conducting the rehearsal for Rosenkavalier not long ago, and he stopped the orchestra and said, "Oh, what trumpet? What are you doing there? What kind of instrument you play? What kind of instrument you play?" So he said, "Well, it's Boozing Hawks, whatever it is on," and they stopped, went on. And just after that, the first horn got up and said, "Excuse me, Sir George, what kind of a baton are you using there?"
Yes.
Spring onion.
Yes, strong union leadership. More Handel, this time it's for Frank. Typical Handel from the fireworks music, but that's not the question.
George Frank. Frederick.
No. It's much more outré than that, because after all, this is your specialist period. In 1742, Frank, someone wrote in the Gentleman's Magazine, "As, still amazed, I'm straying o'er this enchanted grove, I spy a harper playing all in his proud alcove. I doff my hat, designing he'll tune up Buxom Joan. But what was I admiring? Oddzooks, a man of stone." Where was and now is the stone harper, Frank?
The Enchanted Grove is presumably a reference to Grove's Dictionary of Music. So it can be found there.
A few years early.
The harpist was Harpo Marx, and his his statue is to be found in the American Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know, eh?
Not in as many words.
Fills most of the specifications, though, doesn't he? Buxom Joan,
that's right. Well, this particular stone harper went from, I noticed, from SW8 to SW7.
Well,
it's the Rubiliac statue of Handel, which was in Vauxhall Gardens, and then is now in the V&A, Victorian Albert.
Well, nobody's perfect.
There's a rather nice letter from the Duke of Montague, who was in charge of the fireworks, says, "The king is very fond of martial music, but he is not fond of fiddles. Let us hope there not be fiddles in the fireworks music."
Yeah. And there aren't, are
he does not like violins. V-I-O-L-E-E-N-S.
Violins. Yeah. Another personal view, my favourite Strauss waltz tune, Ian, is not by Johann. lovely tune. What is it, Ian?
It is. Yes, I know what this is. A bit of luck. It's the music of the Waltz of the Spheres.
Music of the Spheres, yes.
And it is, as you say, not by Johann, but by, that's Johann II, but by his brother Josef.
Josef, that's right.
And it's an extraordinary thing about him that when his brother took ill, when Johann took ill, the family said to Josef, you must take over, you must come in and conduct the orchestra. And poor Josef had started life as an engineer and a scientist, and had indeed invented a street, mechanical street cleaner for Vienna, and presumably was on to quite a good thing with that, and was quite an inventor. But the family said, no, you brush all that rubbish aside, get on, pick up the baton. He'd studied music, obviously. And he had to bow to this family pressure and then started to compose pieces as many, as you say,
as lovely as the equal,
if not the superior, yes, of the famous Johann,
yes,
and carried on until he came to a sort of unfortunate... He fell off the rostrum somewhere and was
got swept away.
And then died quite young. And then they said, come on, Edward, you have a go, the younger brother. Amazing.
Yes, but he had a high-tech baton.
Yes. Josef Strauss, that's right, his Schwerenklinger. Dennis, a man I love to read about. Where can I find him, and thanks to whom?
Do you really love reading about him?
Yes, I do. Yes, I read and read and read and read those essays. Who would he be?
Well, he's Sir Roger de Coverley, and he was in The Spectator and Addison and Steele. I don't find him terribly amusing.
No, I don't find him amusing. I just love the period. Words of Songs. John, what have they in common? Britannia rules the waves and Hearts of Oak.
They both need a comma after the first word.
Britannia rules the waves.
Hearts of Oak was written by Garrick.
Yes, it was, but that's not in common, is it?
1750.
Yeah, but he didn't write Britannia.
Britannia rules the waves. It was written by a Scotsman.
What was that word you said? Are you? Got it, John.
In the key of R.
Has anybody got any idea of what I'm talking about? There's no S. It's Britannia rule the waves and Heart of Oak. Frank, your turn. Where, in a much more recent song than that, can I find a reference to Fahrenheit or centigrade?
I'm not asbestos. Mm. Oh, no, it's not the same thing.
No, it's not that. Can I give you a clue?
I'll
give you a clue.
Yes. Fever.
Thank you. Got it, yes.
Fever.
Be it Fahrenheit or centigrade, sings Peggy Lee in Fever. Ian, a hole.
A hole?
A hole.
I've a hole in my bucket.
Yes, that's right. Or if you like, a whole lot of love it, if you'd rather, yes.
I thought for a moment you just said, a hole. And I thought it was something nautical.
Right. I don't waste words, do I?
No, of course you don't.
Dennis, your name will be right on the tip of my heart.
Right on the tip of my heart.
Yes.
But only once in every lifetime. Someone just never in a great story. Never in a million years.
Never in a million years. Yes, that's the song. Yes. There used to be a series of film shorts called Crime Does Not Pay, which made a great deal of money, rather disproving the idea, come to think of it. I wonder if there are song titles that actually tell a lie. An aria from an opera, perhaps, or a musical assertion, anyway, that's not really true. A lie set to music. If you can find an odd moment in the next few minutes, perhaps you'd like to be thinking about that. Meanwhile, John, one or two technical matters to be sorted out. Listen to this, John. Arrangers do indeed do strange things. John, that was a vocal group called the Accidentals. In music, how many different kind of accidentals are there? What are accidentals, anyway?
Well, if you have a note and you want to make it higher or lower, you can put in what is known as an accidental. Mm. You can put in a sharp to make it higher. You can put in a flat to make it higher. You can put in a double sharp to make it one tone higher. You can put in a double flat to make it one tone. But in French music, the double flat nearly always comes out looking like a squashed fly.
Well done. Various naturals as well, of course, too. Frank, one of Bach's 48 preludes and fugues, Swingled. Why did he stop at 48, Frank? Why not round off the full set, 50?
He felt a fugue coming on.
Yes. True, true.
He also died.
Well, no, he wrote two books.
Fell off the back of his chair.
He wrote two books, one to each major and minor key.
You're not giving me a chance to answer. He wrote what?
He wrote two books, one to each major and minor key, didn't he, John? So 4 times 12 equals 48.
And anyway, the metric system hadn't been invented, so why should he go on to 50?
Whole thing's accidental.
Several good reasons.
On purpose.
Several good reasons. Ian, there are many different kinds of scales. I'm sure you sing scales almost every day of your life, just as I'm sure I don't play them. Where will I find this particular scale?
Now, Miss Sarah, if you please, sing a scale for me.
He goes up. That's right. It's from the lesson scene of...
Bittersweet.
Bittersweet.
No cards,
bittersweet. Dennis, a film question, but a rather upside-down one. Not which film did it come from, but which film didn't it come from?
Lucky? I wonder how many girls would consider it lucky to be held in the strong, manly arms of Donald Lockwood, the glamorous star of the silver screen.
You are my lucky star.
Yeah, but it did.
Did you take that from an album?
Yes, an album.
A wonderful album of songs that were cut from films, and that was cut... That was Debbie Reynolds singing You Are My Lucky Star that never made it into Singing in the Rain. There's another tune that didn't make it either. Because Gene Kelly sang and danced another song, whose title escapes me at the moment, which hasn't... which never made its way into Singing in the Rain. And I always wondered, why don't they, instead of putting together these compilations like That's Entertainment, which they re-show us things we've already seen, why don't they put together compilations of numbers that were cut out of great movies because they spent all the money and took all the time world?
You have to ask yourself why they were cut out.
Well, they were cut out for time and for various reasons and so on. Overbooking.
In some cases, yes, because they didn't work out too well. It's a possibility, isn't it?
Oh, it's a possibility, but I mean, there must be a wealth of material when you think... Yeah. I mean, those albums, this is a very interesting set of albums called Cut, which tells you... which is a lot of songs which are cut out of great music, including a lot of Judy Garland ones. Yes. I did a program on Judy Garland, and we played about five of them.
Yes.
It was the same thing, actually, that if the producer took all the rounds that were cut out from this show and put them together, we'd probably win a small award. We'd get the pre-Italia, wouldn't we?
Matter of fact, you could make a spurious Peter Sellers film by the same technique.
Yes,
could you not?
Yes.
Could you not? Yes, it came from it's an outtake. It came from a bit that wasn't used eventually in Singing in the Rain. I love it, writes a lady in Plymouth, when you tap out tunes on that cigar box of yours.
Mm,
so much more enjoyable than when you play them on the piano. Right, try your hand. Here, let me just get in tune. Right. Try your hand at identifying these well-known tunes. I'll count you in. Right.
That's Beethoven, that first one. symphony.
I haven't begun yet. I haven't.
Never mind. Go on, Frank.
I haven't begun yet. No. No, John. Here's yours. I'll count you in. Right. 1, 2, 3. No, it's not. No, try again.
You're
a genius!
It comes easy.
You can have Berlioz or Liszt, whichever you like for that. Do you know the song, the tune, the march?
Oh, yes, it's the Rakoczy March.
Rakoczy March, used by Berlioz in The Damnation of Faust, also used by Liszt in one of the Hungarian Rhapsodies. Right, very good.
The thing I'm good at on this programme is sorting out the knocks on a cigar box.
Right, order. Here's yours, Frank. I'll count you in again. 1, 2.
Lily O'Grady, silly and shady, long to be a lazy lady.
Facade.
Yes, right, yes. Popular song. Thank you. Popular song from Walton's.
I always remember when I worked in a gramophone shop, a boy came in one day and said, have you got Facade? And I fell over backwards not to say, oh, you mean that ballet suite by Walton with words by Edith Sitwell? The title escapes me now.
Yes. Here's an overture, Ian, appropriately for you. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Get it?
Could it be the overture to the operetta Les Amours d'Ignace et Hortense by Roger Bonfleur?
You didn't say it is, you said could it be, didn't you?
I said could it be, yes.
No, it couldn't. No.
That doesn't surprise me in the least.
That was on the hinge.
I got it. Yes, we all know that, but what's it called?
We're on very common ground about that.
Ambroise Thomas wrote it.
Oh, yes.
It's up to it's Raymond. Raymond Overture.
Oh, well, yes. Well, there we are.
I can't see why somebody who gave up smoking can't give up playing with cigar butts.
Here's your own one, right. Dennis. Here's yours, right?
Easy,
one,
easy.
One, here, two, here. Three, four. I'll start it again. Ready? One, right. Two, three, four.
Does anybody know that?
They're playing our song.
Anybody recognise it? You've got it, Frank, haven't you? Yes.
They're playing our song.
Oh, it's forgotten.
Yes.
Take it from here. It was. That's right.
Only a cigar would recognise it.
We didn't do very well on that
round, did we?
Right, now the title of a song or an aria that tells a lie. I asked you a little earlier on, John.
Well, there are an awful lot.
Yeah, but
just arias that, for example, Handel had in operas, and he later put them into oratorios. So, in effect, those are all lies.
Oh, that's interesting, yes.
I can't think of any words. The only song I can think of, when I don't think the lady was actually telling the truth, was when she said, "My heart belongs to Daddy."
That'll do nicely. John, Frank, rather.
I think a lie is, "I'm Popeye the Sailor Man." And then there's, "I am pretty." Yep. Oh, so pretty.
That's right.
And it gets better because it goes, "I am pretty and witty and gay." Yes.
Yeah.
Fib.
Ian. Ian, a lying song or aria?
The best things in life are free.
Very nice. You've just written, you've just written it down, don't you? Yes. Crossed it out. You know.
Kindly look at my bit of paper.
I didn't.
No, I didn't say you did. I said, look at them after you've written it down.
Have you got another one?
No, all right.
You got another one?
You can have the others, yeah.
Go on, Dennis. What have you got?
He's got some more.
I've got a very painful one, which is very unlikely. You're dancing on my heart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Dennis, mine is I'm glad I'm not young anymore. That's a... And then another thumping lies, I did it my way.
My favourite lying song is Any Time's Kissing Time. It's Frank who launches our finale section to the brisk song initiated by Gertrude Lawrence and Harry Richmond. Exactly like you.
I know why I've waited, know why I've been blue, prayed each night for someone exactly like you. Why should we spend money on a show or two? Mundane does these love scenes exactly like you. You make me feel so grand, I want to hand the world to you. You seem to understand each foolish little scheme I'm scheming, dream I'm dreaming. Now I know why mother taught me to be true. She meant me for someone precisely like you.
Le Roi Dix by Lalo is an opera about which I know two things, and I've already told you them both.
The title and the
composer, and one of them is rather coarse. Yeah. From it, John sings this oubard.
I have to be a young French tenor now.
R.P. Weston and Bert Lee hugely contributed to the Dennis Norden repertoire. It would be a thin My Music season in which Dennis didn't do them honour. In this song, for instance.
When Flossie found her first grey hair, she murmured in despair. Time is on the wing, old thing. You must hustle if you want that ring. You've got to find a man somewhere, and men are very rare. She ran downstairs at an early hour, saying, heaven help me, I'm a faded flower. And the wink she gave the milkman turned the milk all sour when Flossie found her first grey hair.
Oh, you're a hard act to follow, Dennis Norden.
I had to follow a young French tenor.
Well, it is Ian's turn anyway, and the snowy-breasted pearl.
Oh, she is not like the rose that proud in beauty glows and boasteth that she's so wondrous fair. But she's like the violet blue, ever modest, ever true, from her leafy bower perfuming the still night air. Oh, she's gentle, loving, mild. She's artless as a child. Her clustering tresses softly flowing down. I love thee evermore, sweet Colleen O'Gasthor, my true love, my snowy breasted pearl.
Almost time to leave you. Just time to tell you we have a score sheet victory, I see, this week for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.